And welcome now to the midday for a Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland. We're going to find out about a musical phenomenon that is coming our way this weekend with the Madison Symphony. And the concert at hand will include various works, one by Samuel Barber, his second essay for orchestra, Prokofiev's selections from his ballet Romeo and Juliet, and in the middle of all that, something by contemporary composer Kevin Putz, which features my three guests for the next few minutes here on the midday. They are Nicholas Kendall, violin, Charles Yang, violin, and Renan Meyer, double bass, and they are collectively known as Time for Three, and welcome to the midday, gentlemen.
Great to be here.
Oh, yeah.
Great to be in Madison. We love it here.
Have you been here before, any of you?
Time for Three has been here pre-Charles.
Pre-me.
We did the outdoor, the massive outdoor concert at the invitation of Andrew Sewell.
Oh, sure. Your concert's on the square, of course.
Yeah, with the chamber orchestra.
Sure.
And then we also played the Capitol Theater after that. I think it was like 2 years after that. But this is our first time in the gorgeous, amazing Overture Hall with the Madison Symphony Orchestra.
Well, I can't leave out that I've been to summer camp here when I was 15 years old at University of Wisconsin
for
a jazz camp. It was the first time that I left New Jersey. Usually, you don't leave New Jersey. You just stay there.
And
it
some
was,
people do,
it was incredible.
Nice.
Some people do.
I came here with another fellow who got me into jazz, Steve Meyerson. Shout out to Steve, who if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't play music probably, and I definitely wouldn't have come to Madison for the very first time. I remember I had a girlfriend who had two different color eyes named Lois that I thought was adorable.
Awesome.
And
Lois, if you're out there,
come to our show.
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. See Renan again.
I guess you'll know who she is by your description.
It's awesome.
Let's put this in corporate terms. What is the mission statement for Time for Three? What's the brand?
Well, for many, many years, I'll just say it. If we're in an elevator, we're all getting together. We are a classically trained garage band.
Awesome.
Are you interested in going to the second and third floor with us?
Well, you're on the seventh now. So
we're on the seventh. Okay, so we started really good.
I suggest not going any higher.
But yeah, that's been our kind of our loose impression, if we have just a few seconds. And it just kind of connotes the idea that sort of naturally came to the idea of Time for Three that is very similar between Renan, Charles, and myself. Being classically trained from the very early age, but always incorporating the tool of improvisation to merge and fuse modern styles of the time. So whatever's on radio, like later on, like our access to the internet, so many, many different genres, but turning that all into music for these instruments that are so branded as classical music, to classical music, and doing something new with it, being inventive with it. So that's kind of, I don't know, guys, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, it's just
we're on the 10th floor now.
We're now on the 10th floor.
It's a very slow elevator.
No, I think just like two violins and a bass, you know, you never hear of that.
I was going to say, I don't think Mozart wrote a lot of music.
Actually, there was one discovery of recently, like last year, there was a piece discovered by a very young Mozart of this piece for two violins and bass. But, before last year, there was nothing. So having a group like Time for Three, which can, as Nick said, we're all classically trained, kind of live in this lane of classical music using our roots, working with the great modern composers of our time that are living, but also respecting what we grew up with, like Beethoven, Bach, and all that, but also living in the other lane of being a band. Mm-hmm. You know, we're two violins and a bass, and we sing. So we can kind of, you know, merge so many different things, and it's just fun. It's creative, almost like we're breaking the rules, but we have to learn the rules first, you know?
Yes. Well,
still learning the rules.
Still learning.
Yeah, at this point, we're like Willy Wonka about to, like, shoot in the elevator through the glass ceiling, you know? But
right.
Time for Three really is just this, you know, it's an oxymoron in the best of ways. And you know, kind of like that speakeasy, because we're always explaining ourselves. Like, everywhere we go, like, what are you? You know, we get on the airplane, you know, sit next to some nice person, and you know, trying to explain exactly what we are. You know, Nick and I went to the Curtis Institute of Music. We think it's pretty well known, you know, but like no one knows
what it is.
You know, like we have this, we go to Honeywell Arts Academy every summer, this beautiful program, and people don't understand what that is. It's for these exceptional musicians, full scholarship. The only thing that kind of rings a bell is Charles, because he went to that school called Juilliard.
Yeah. Really small school in New York.
People seem to understand that, but we're comfortable with like being niche within the niche, you know, and just the cool thing about our North Star is that we choose what we want to do because it's just that, and that is what brings us joy. And when the audience comes, it's a beautiful thing.
Beautiful.
All right, how about this Kevin Putz piece that you're playing, and it's called Contact. Classical. Something else.
I mean, it's,
what are you doing?
It's Kevin Putz.
It's Kevin Putz, and I would say Time for Three. But the thing about music today, I mean, maybe it's cliche to say this, but we really do not like classifications. Like, I think it diminishes all work to say, is it classical, is it not classical, or jazz, or rock, hip hop, whatever, because. What Kevin wrote is, it has a beautiful narrative, but it also has so much soul and love, and allows Time for Three, leverages the spirit, the generosity of spirit that happens naturally between the three of us on stage, between the three of us, but then with whomever we're playing with, and in this case,
the
awesome Madison Symphony Orchestra, and then also with our maestro, but then also back out into whoever we are lucky to play for and with. So it's all music, we feel like, no matter where it comes from and who it's by, is ultimately about that community experience. And we flourish in those moments. And this piece, Kevin, who really got to know us, who really got to know, like, our bag of tricks or our tools, and created a four-part concerto in, it's, you know, in classical music we call it concerto form, but a four-part story that really is so meaningful to play, but it's also just a lot of fun. And I think we're going to start with hearing the second movement. So there are four movements, really quick. The first movement is, we'll go backwards, but the first one is called The Call. Second movement is called Codes. Third movement is called Contact. And the last movement is called Convivium. And maybe after we hear Codes, we can talk a little bit more the overarching narrative of the piece to which those titles were given.
Here we go from their Deutsche Grammophon recording, Time for Three with Codes. The name of the piece is Contact. It's by Kevin Putz, and we heard the second movement there, which is called Codes, and it's featuring Time for Three. They'll be playing that very work with the Madison Symphony this weekend. That's Friday night at 7:30, Saturday night at 7:30, Sunday afternoon at 2:30 at the Overture Center for the Arts with the Madison Symphony. The guest conductor is Joseph Young. and time for three. All three of them have time for the midday today.
Yes.
And they include Nicholas Kendall violin, Charles Yang violin, and Renan Meyer double bass. And I assume Kevin Putz, the composer, has heard this and approved it? Or how does that work once you've recorded a piece?
Approved it? Oh. We should call Kevin right on air right now.
Yeah, actually.
Hey, Kevin, do you
let me call him real quick.
No, this concerto, it really means so much to us because we had commissioned this concerto in 2018, mm-hmm. set to premiere in 2020 with Philadelphia Orchestra and San Francisco Symphony and many other orchestras. But as we all know, the world shut down, and we just didn't know where this concerto was going to go, when we could play it, when we could perform it, when the world was going to allow us to perform again. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until about 2022, when the world kind of opened up again, mm-hmm. That we got in our team had the great idea with Philly Orchestra to be like, let's record this, because we don't know with live audiences yet. Let's record this. And we did. We did, and that was the first time we actually heard the piece in its final form, was the recording session.
With the Philadelphia Orchestra. The Philadelphia
Orchestra.
Sure, no problem.
Yeah. Must have been exciting.
It was.
They're pretty good.
They're pretty good.
Rumor has it.
But yeah, this piece was, for Kevin, really special as well, because he had really studied us, like Nick was saying, and sculpted this part for us, with us, and with Philly Orchestra as well. And it came together so easily, and we poured everything we had into it. So, and now we have the honor of playing it everywhere. I think for a new piece, we've played it over 50 times
wow.
now, which is incredible.
Yeah, we like working with him so much that I guess we all like working with each other so much. That he's also really known for, of course, his opera, The Hours,
sure.
and Joyce DiDonato, one of the extraordinary singers that is part of that. Sort of simultaneously, as he's writing this opera and writing this concerto for us, with us, he also had this concept for the next project, and hint, hint. But we just were in the studio with Joyce. And time for three, because Kevin wrote us a whole new body of work.
Yeah.
So we love Kevin that much that we could see him writing onward into our future even more and more, which is, it's when you're looking for a composer in our industry, and we talk about this a lot, it's not necessarily about the exact sound of the previous works that the composer created, which are marvelous.
Amazing.
But it's more so about, is there a like-mindedness in the way that we're going to work together, sort of our spirit? And mm-hmm. I think one of the ways that we like to describe Kevin is he's constantly hunting for the emotional value of his music, how he's going to convey the story and the character and these human qualities that really drive it home. Even though he has this like incredible sophistication, mm-hmm. mind-blowing sophistication of what, the orchestra can do and what classical music and the history is all about and his respect and his understanding for it, he's striving for, hitting the heart.
We have a little bit of time before we get to the quiz question, and we can hear some more from Contact. But before that, one of you mentioned improv. Is there room for improv in a piece like this? Or if not, where would you find it?
Oof, for sure. I mean, first of all, we always say that improvisation has its own spectrum. There's, on one side, you have complete free, coming from nothing, just free improvisation, using the language of music to communicate. But then on the other side of that is we feel like improvisation is at the root of what we call interpretation. There's nothing, for me at least, I sort of turn off in live performance when I feel like there's a performance that's striving to be perfect or just about following instructions, rather than taking those instructions, a score or a lead sheet or a narrative, and understanding and spending time owning that, like a great actor does with a script from Shakespeare, and making it their own. And then, so those are the two extremes, we feel. And in Kevin's piece, we are right at the fulcrum, because we are definitely, there are moments when we can, I at least, are improvising in the moment completely. But then there's so much of interpretation happening. And we feel that the master composers, one of the genius things about that is, you know, like Brahms, Beethoven, Prokofiev, Shostakovich, all of this stuff, and Kevin Putz, when you have a score that is so amazing, then when it's in the hands of new musicians, new artists, there's so much room to make it new every time. And we have been playing, like Charles said, we've been playing this concerto now a lot. We know this thing backwards and forwards, and we know it enough that we can use improvisation to flex around the timing of when the first violin section might end a phrase or something, and then we can parlay and kind of bend the thing here, and so it's, which allows the orchestra to react to what we're doing. So it really keeps, like, all great compositions and all great performances of works, again, from many genres, it keeps it fresh and alive. And that's to answer in a very long way your question about improvisation.
But just a quick dismount from that is that this piece came from improvisation as well. Yes. You know, Kevin came to our shows. We sent videos of ourselves improvising, which made it into some parts of this piece. So
that's a nice kind of collaboration.
It's great. It's like, you know, Brahms and Joachim. We always talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
That
it's
kind
a big
of
influence.
Collaboration.
Huge.
Yeah. So our DNA is definitely in there, alongside
like
Kevin's.
The movement we just heard, Codes, all of that pizzicato. Like, if you see us live, you're going to see us using our instruments almost like mandolin or guitar, like under, you know, and Renan using the double bass as a cajon at some point. All of those ideas came from, well, naturally what we do in our solo show.
Yeah.
But Kevin coming and check that out and literally taking those, our way of our DNA and embedding it into his masterpiece.
And here we go. This is the finale of The Call. In case you had forgotten, Time for Three does some vocalizing too when they perform, and that's the way the composer Kevin Putz wrote that particular piece, the first of the three movements of the piece that Time for Three will be performing with the Madison Symphony this weekend. It's called Contact. The first movement is The Call, and we heard earlier Codes, and we're hearing Have Gotten. Some nice insights, he said.
Insults, too.
The insults must have been very subtle because I didn't hear them. Probably
no
well
insults. No
possibly
insults.
Well-deserved, though.
No.
Anyway, they'll be performing with the Madison Symphony this weekend, that very same work by Kevin Putz. And the guest conductor is Joseph Young. And
yeah, we love him.
Yeah,
have you performed with him before, then?
Have we worked with him?
We haven't, but Charlie has.
I've worked with him, yeah.
Okay.
He's great. He's a wonderful person. We had our first rehearsal yesterday, and he's a rock star.
Yeah, he's amazing.
As are you all. Nicholas Kendall, violin, Charles Young, violin, and Renan Meyer, double bass. They constitute Time for Three, and it's been a pleasure meeting you. And
thanks for having us.
And hearing some of your work. And in a minute, we'll get to our quiz question here on WPR.